challenge. I know that you are looking for things. Who is crucified? He is not here. For he has been raised. He has risen indeed.
See everybody here today, and I know you come from all different places. Anybody outside of Iowa that is here today? Oh, I bet you're in Minnesota, if you are from outside of Iowa. How about you guys?
South Carolina.
South Carolina? That's a long way.
22-hour drive.
And you drove it, not if you didn't fly.
It's a little crazy, but it's okay.
Yeah, they probably didn't have no planes leaving Atlanta. We're glad that you're here, and a very, very great Resurrection Sunday to you all. And I'm going to do something a little different today. I just want to see if the people on Zoom can really keep track of me. But I got with me here an object lesson that I want to go over with you. Just remember the number. Don't look inside. Well, you can look inside, I guess, before I call on you. Good catch. Bad catch. All right, did anybody else call? Now, if you take that, means your dad's going to have to help you. What's going to happen? even dozen. Okay, who's got number one? Look on the number. Oh, number one. Open it up. See what's inside. Money? How much money is in there? There's three dimes in that egg. What do you suppose 30 cents, 30 pieces of silver reminds you of what? Let's do this. Great. Who's got number two? Where's number two at? Look on your egg, you should have a number. You got it?
No.
Oh. Over here, okay. What's inside of it, Iris?
Wood.
Oh, it's not just an ordinary piece of wood. Do you know where you find that piece of wood? And it's not on Noah's Ark. It comes from a tree. But you know, when there's been a branch on some wood, if you go to the lumber yard, what do you call that little dark spot? There you go, that's what it is. It is a knot. Because every disciple, when Jesus said, someone is going to betray me this night, they all said what? Not I. That's the knot comes in. Not I. Thank you, Iris. Who's got number three? All right. What's inside your egg?
Two dice.
Yeah, what's the dice all about? That's right. They threw lots for the clothes of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. Very good. Did you have to look that up on your cell phone or something? Who's got number four? Back here. Okay. What's inside? How many rubber bands? What in the world could that be? Any idea? There were two, one on each side of Jesus on the cross. What were they? Yeah, and because you got the rubber bands there, these are robbers. That's just how we talk in North Dakota. Two rubber bands, two thieves on the cross. Who's got five? This is Jaden, right?
That is.
Got it. And you have?
Nail.
Okay, easy one.
Yeah. How many nails to the cross?
Yeah, three nails. Jesus, one was put where? The feet and the hands. Three nails. Very good. Who's got six? Over here. What's inside? A chocolate kiss reminds us of what? Judas's kiss of betrayal went to Jesus. There we go. And it was not a chocolate kiss that he got, was it? It was not a very good kiss. All right, number seven. Who's got seven? Okay. What's inside?
A feather. What does that mean?
A dove.
Good guess. The feather is the rooster that crowed three times when Peter was in the courtyard and he said he would never, ever, ever deny Jesus. And the rooster crowed.
If you want to keep it.
No, we're out. It's okay.
Number eight. Who's got eight? I figured we got to get over here sometime. What's inside? Piece of leather. What do you suppose that goes with? You can ask anyone you want. Your lifeline. A piece of leather. Jesus was flogged. It was like a leather whip, only had 9 pieces of leather on it. They put glass in that leather, they put metal beads in it, you know, and they, how many lashes did they give to Jesus, you know? 40 lashes minus 1, because the Romans wanted to say they were not that bad. But a lot of people died even before they got their lashes. Thank you. All right, who's got number 9? There's number 9, Carter. What's inside? It's just a piece of purple ribbon in there. What do you think of? Okay, well, they were mocking him, and they gave him a king's color robe, purple. They put it on him and mocked him. Okay, I'll take your 8 back. Who's got number 10? Okay. Number 10. What do you got?
4.
A thorny situation here.
Thorns on the ground.
Yeah, they put a crown of thorns on Jesus. Did they put it on really lightly? Yeah, they just stuck it on him, and then they beat it as well. The Roman soldiers did that. So there was probably blood coming down from his brow at that time. Okay, we're almost done. Only a dozen eggs. Number 11. Tristan. A stone. Yeah, they were concerned. The ladies were concerned about who's going to roll away the stone in front of the tomb. So hand me the egg back. You don't get to keep these. I just get to eat the chocolate kiss, though. Ooh, who's got the last one?
Me, number 12.
And what do you got inside yours?
No.
Nothing. How does that go along with Easter? Because Jesus had been resurrected. Yeah, an empty tomb. You got an empty egg. And I've got an empty brain. Thank you so much, boys and girls. Now, out of all the 12, which one are you going to remember the most?
Number
12. Number 12? That's a good one. I thought you'd say the robbers. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then the praise band can come on up. I think they sing after I'm done praying, won't they? Or, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for reliving a little bit of what took place in the life of Jesus, and we're so thankful today that it's Resurrection Sunday, the day that he came back alive, and there's so many things that take place back then. But Lord, we pray that today, that this isn't a story, a good story to be able to tell people, but it's something that really did happen. And we thank you for doing what you did for us as you died on the cross for our sins. And as we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we know that we have hope for tomorrow. Hope for today. Hope for tomorrow. And that we know that our sins are forgiven when we believe in him. That When we die, whenever that time may come, we know that we'll be with you because of the faith that you've given to us. And so thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here today. Bless this day. Bless those, Lord, especially that are going through their first Easter without a loved one, without their husband, without a brother, without a sister, without a friend, without a wife. It's the first Easter. And so we just pray, Lord, that we're reminded that we're not alone, but that you live in us. If we want you to live in us, you do, as we place our faith in you. So bless our service and all that takes part in it today, all that happens. May we find that our hearts are moved by you. In your name we pray.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
various places in the New Testament. But I'll begin by saying, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe you are Messiah, the Son of God, who has to come into the world.
For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from his claims.
Now we die with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, no longer dies.
Death no longer rules over him. For in that he died to sin once for all. But in that he lives to God. So you do consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
For in him we live and move and exist.
Thank you.
you're doing that. Just want you to know that those of you that know Curtis Jazz, he was put in the hospital here in pneumonia. So that's where he's at. He's not at the Milford Nursing Home, as he just got there this last week. So just keep him in your prayers. Curtis Jazz. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 10 through 18. John 20, verses 10 through 18. When the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated near Jesus' body, where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Lord, even though this happened many, many years ago, help us to understand and to see the importance of what is here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking about that egg in the object lesson that had the knot in it this morning. There's another story that goes along with that. And I was just I don't know how old I was, but we had a lean pole, a pole barn, we called it, on our farm. And for some reason, I thought I was going to help Dad, and I went on top of that pole barn, and I started with a hammer and punched out all the knots. Not realizing, you know, it does rain sometimes. And so I thought I did Dad a great favor by pounding out those knots. And when he saw those knots, from probably below looking up, like, where did all those holes come from? He asked, "Did you do anything on top of the pole barn?" And I go, "Yeah, I helped you out, Dad. I knocked out all the knots. They were kind of loose." Well, he ended up, he had to get some covers off of tin cans and go up there and nail it over every hole. And then he had to get some tin to put over the top of that roof. And I realized I did not help him out at all. I gave him more work to do. So I think of the knot in that plastic egg here this morning. That's what kind of came to my mind last night. Wow. Today we're looking at John's account of the resurrection, and we find that there is a woman there by the name Mary Magdalene. She comes from the town called Magdala, which is on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. And it's not a very popular place, even at this time. Anyone who was from Magdala was kind of looked down upon. And there was a lot of sin in that city. It wasn't a real big city, it's a little town. Right now, it's a wonderful souvenir shop that's there. And they do have the boat, they call it the Jesus boat, is inside. because Sea of Galilee got very low a number of years ago, and they found this boat, and they carbon dated it back to the time of Christ, and so they call it the Jesus boat. And they've assembled it. It's kind of another place, another room where you can go and look at it. So John's account here is somewhat different than from the other gospel writers. But one of the things we do know is that Jesus showed himself first to this woman. Other disciples went to the tomb, but Jesus wasn't there. But here's where Jesus reveals himself, shows himself to Mary Magdalene. And if you know anything about Mary Magdalene, she had been delivered from how many demons?
Seven.
She was delivered from seven demons earlier on in her life. And she became a great follower, a wonderful disciple of Jesus Christ along the way of his ministry. She never forgot how much he saved her from. And so we have her focused upon here this morning. And we notice that she's crying when she goes to the tomb early that Sunday morning. And if you're crying, you don't have any joy. Of course, you have tears of joy, I suppose. But when she went there, it was not tears of joy. It was, she was weeping and crying because Jesus' life had ended. And when she got enough courage and was able to look inside the tomb, that's when she found joy. Not quite understanding everything was going on. Jesus' body wasn't there, but when she looked inside, there were two angels dressed in white. They even spoke to her, so these angels were able to do that. And probably looking at the linens that were, the way they were placed on the sepulcher there, in the where they laid Jesus, they probably knew that, yeah, it was one's at the head, one's at the foot. Because of the linen, but his body was not there. And the angels even asked Mary, they said, woman, of course, the use of woman is very respectful. It's not a put-down by any means by these angels. It's very respectful. And they just said to her, why are you crying? And Mary responds, my Lord's body is not here. I don't know where they have put him. And if she had only looked behind her, she probably would have seen someone was behind her. It was Jesus, but when she realized it was somebody there, she thought it was the gardener. And so she didn't pay a whole lot of attention to him, but she did say to the gardener, you know, if you've taken the body, where did you put him? I want to know where you put him so then I can go and get him. It's interesting that she did not recognize Jesus, but it's the same way when the two men that on the Emmaus Road, when Jesus came to join them on the walk away from Jerusalem, they did not recognize him either. They didn't recognize him until that evening when they broke bread. And Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them, and then he just disappeared. His body is different after the resurrection than it was before. But these guys didn't recognize him either. But they said there was something stirring in them when he came to join them, but they couldn't put their finger on it, of what is it about this guy? Like, we should know this guy. But they didn't. And Mary's kind of the same situation here. It's not until she hears Jesus call her by name.
Hey, Mama.
Mary. She knew that voice. Just like all sheep know the voice of the shepherd. When she heard her name, she goes, that's him, it's Jesus. How many of you have had a phone call where you did not recognize the person on who called you? Of course, now you know, new cell phones, you get to see who's that, who calls. But it used to be when somebody would call you, you kind of go like, okay, I should know this person, but I don't know who it is. You recognize the voice, but you can't put a name to the person. But when Jesus says, Mary, she gets pretty excited, and she says in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Now, she would have said it in in the Greek that we have, she would have used the Jewish term, which would have been rabbi, which means the same thing, teacher. And she wants to give Jesus the biggest bear hug she could muster up. But Jesus said to her, "You know, you got to let go of my feet, honey. Because it's not time for me to be sticking around. I need to go to my Father and go to the disciples." And then he ascended into heaven, but he did not want to be touched by her. And she said, Jesus said to her, "Go to my brothers," which he's talking about his disciples, "and tell them this: I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now we find nowhere else in the Gospels did Jesus himself address himself as, you know, God in the way he does here. He says, "I'm going to go to our Father and to our God." The closest thing we have with that is the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is just teaching his disciples how to pray. And what you pray is, "Our Father who art in heaven." That's kind of all he says there, but he's teaching them how to pray. He's not making any kind of a statement about himself there. And so we find that the joy that makes Mary run to the disciples is amazing. And she's the first one to tell the disciples, "I saw him. Jesus is alive. I saw him." And she not only saw him, but she also talked with him. She heard him talk back to her. So we find that her tears of sorrow that she began with at the tomb, and she was concerned about the stone, how they were going to move the stone, had that conversation with some of the other ladies that were going out there that morning as well. But her tears of sadness was turned to tears of joy at the tomb when Jesus was not there. So the meaning of, well, it's kind of the title of this message, is "Joy Comes in Unexpected Places." Do you think she really expected to find Jesus there when she went? I mean, I think she did. But when he was not there, I'm sure that was a real surprise to her. She wanted to know, well, where'd he go? She was there with another lady by the name of Mary. And they saw what Joseph of Arimathea, him and Nicodemus wrapped the spices around Jesus' body and they set him inside the tomb. She knew where the tomb was at. She didn't go to a different tomb or a different place. She wasn't lost. She went to the exact place where they had laid him, and she looked inside. He was not there. Joy in unexpected places. You might have some of that today, or you've already had it this weekend. You know, joy in unexpected places can be when your kids come home. You're just glad they're there. Grandkids, too. Grandkids have a lot of energy, don't they? It just means you're getting older. That's okay. We all do. But where do you find joy in unexpected places? You know, when you had your first child, you kind of expected that it's going to be that way, and so there would be joy there. But a lot of times we have joy that we just didn't expect it to take place. And there's a lot of that every day. Just to see you here today. Some of you don't even know who you are. You bring joy to me. And I'm thankful that you're here. You are going to bring joy when you leave here and you sit around the dinner table or wherever you go. Unless you have pizza. but you give joy to those around you. And even if someone who we love is gone this Easter, that was here last Easter, there still is a joy in your heart and in your life. Because you know Jesus lives in you. And that he saved you from your sins. And he's forgiven you. And that's just the importance of Easter, the message of Easter with the resurrection. You know, if we don't have the resurrection, there is no such thing as Christianity. There's no hope. But because the resurrection did take place, we have hope. Hope that one day when we die, because we're all going to die, what does that mean if you don't know Jesus and you don't love him with your whole heart? Mary left that tomb different than when she came. And that is our prayer for you today as well. You know, you come into this church, you come into the sanctuary. However you came in, but it is our prayer as a church that you leave different than when you came in. You know that you've spent time in God's Word. You spent time in worshiping Him. You've had time now to think of a little bit about where you're at in your relationship to Jesus Christ in your life. There's no time like this during the week of what you're experiencing right now. Mary Magdalene, whoever would have thought that she would be a believer of Jesus Christ compared to what she was before she met Jesus? None of us have any idea what it's like to be demon-possessed. But maybe you're here and you do. But she could not have had a very fun-filled life because demons would take over. They're in charge of whatever she did. And what she would like to do, she probably ended up doing something completely different. And she had no idea why this was going on. Or maybe she knew that, hey, I got some evil spirits here that have a real control on me and over me. I hate this. But when she went to Jesus, it all changed. Historical faith says Christ lives. Saving faith says Christ lives in me. There's a difference. I'll say it again. Historical faith says Christ lives. But saving faith says, Christ lives in me. Is Jesus really living in your heart and life? Not just for an hour or so here at church, but when you leave the church, as you live from day to day, as you go to your jobs, as you spend time with relatives, you spend time with your friends, do they see Jesus in you? Mary Magdalene was, I think, a much better follower than Peter was. Because she was there at the foot of the cross when Jesus was hanging there, along with one disciple, John. He's the youngest. And if you notice the beginning of this chapter, chapter 20, it was two of the disciples that ran to the tomb. It was John and Peter. Peter's an old guy. He can't run as fast or run as long. It was John who got to the tomb first. And when Peter stuck his head in there, he goes like, he's not here. And they went back to the other guys. But Mary Magdalene showed up and it all changed for her. And she could go back and say, I saw him. He's alive. I want you to know that Jesus is here. And he wants to become a part of your life if he is not already. To where you know that you are the way you are because he lives in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you can take us just the way we are. And yet you never force yourself on any person. You just give the invitation. And you're always willing to come into our lives when we ask. You already paid the price for all of our sins. In your resurrection, you beat Satan. You beat death. And you also beat sin. Our lives can be so different when we let you have your way in our lives. May today be that day where we say, Lord Jesus, I've been putting you off. I've been trying not to think about you. I don't even like being here today in this church. But I do know this. I'm a sinner. I do sin. You can ask my wife. You can ask my husband. You can ask my kids. You can ask my grandkids. They all know you're not perfect. And yet, Jesus, you are. And that's what really counts, is that you are perfect. Therefore, you've done everything for us. It's just for us to come and believe and trust in you with our whole heart. You never promised us a rose garden. But you did promise that you would be with us and that you would never leave us. May we find strength in that. May we find our hope in what you have done for us, especially today, as we remember your resurrection. And so let us pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. I invite you to rise if you can. If you can, it's okay. We're just going to recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. Let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May you receive the benediction. Lord, as people who cared to come today, may they find a lot of joy in their hearts and in their lives because of Jesus. And if they do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, may they make that commitment today. Because, Lord, you are faithful, even when we are not. And therefore, we are grateful that you take us the way we are. You love us. You give us eternal life as we believe and place our hope in Jesus Christ. So may you be with each and every one that is here today and go with us. We're going to be dismissed in just a short amount of time. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Bob, take us to the end.